B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Alrighty, it's 5 o'clock hour. The Mike Mussinelli Show. Radio only. If you're watching TV, we're not on. But you're watching pregame Philly stuff. 610-620-975. 5 o'clock hour, as always, brought to us by Guided Door and Window. Take advantage of Guided Door and Window's big summer sales event. Receive 40% off all windows and doors. Call Guided Door and Window today at 1-877-GO-GUIDA or visit GOGUIDA.com. That Damian Lillard was ridiculous yesterday, honey.
Yeah. Insane.
And Carmelo throwing 20 in.
Yeah, he's been good for them.
About that.
I was a little mad at Tobias, though. That was the only negative takeaway from it.
Why, what, guarding him?
Tobias has to get him back on the other end because Melo doesn't want to D up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he missed a lot of easy shots.
The hook.
Yeah, he's got to go out there and make Melo. Mm-hmm. Melo doesn't want to play any defense. Yeah. And I don't blame him. But good for Melo. He's 15th all time in scoring.
Yeah, he's had an unbelievable career.
Yeah.
Shaq and the Max kid played 34 minutes yesterday for Portland.
Yeah.
Gary Trent Jr.
Yeah.
34 minutes.
Well, going into the game, the Sixers sort of did a decent job with him. He had been shooting like 60-some percent from three. Like 68%
really?
Going into that game.
Where did Shaq and the Max kid go to college?
I don't remember.
Gary Trent Jr.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I would know this.
Yeah, he's
stumping me.
Because this is definitely a little bit out of nowhere. He went to he went to Duke.
Did Gary Trent Jr. went to Duke?
Yeah, but he wasn't good there.
Huh.
Yeah, that was the thing. That's why he was a second round pick. He was a 37th overall pick because he wasn't. That's after being a McDonald's All American.
Oh, all right.
But he just didn't. But yeah, I mean, 21.
I remember him at Duke.
I don't remember him at all.
Hmm. All right, let's go back to the phones with Vaughn in Burlington. Vaughn, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Vaughn? Vaughn?
Mike, Ty, how you doing?
What's up, buddy?
Let's talk about our Sixers.
Mm-hmm.
We're off TV so we can take the gloves off.
go right. You can take them off anytime.
Whether
on TV or not.
You said, I'm a longtime Sixers fan. You said that, you know, the fans are getting a little cold, but one of the reasons is Brett Brown. I don't want to keep on kicking his back in, but he only knows what he knows. It's to a point he doesn't make adjustments. It's like hard to watch, you know, a screen come. He doesn't have the big hedging hard or double teaming, getting the ball out of his hands. And there's too many guys throughout the league that had their career highs against us. And it's a little surprising with him coming from that San Antonio background where they stress defense. And so I don't know if he just doesn't want to push the stars or say certain things, but it's just like, you know, Brett Brown, he only knows what he knows. And it's just to a point where I've always had some red flags about him 2 years ago. I mean, the tape don't lie.
Well, listen, man, it's all going to play itself out. So, like, I'm not fretting over Bretton. Really, because at this point, it's just going to play itself out. Either he's going to be able to get them together to the point where they take Milwaukee to the finals and play them hard, or they're going to maybe lose in the first round or lose in the second. And if they do the first two, even if Ben Simmons isn't playing, I don't think he's coming back. So,
hey, and I have a second point, though. Mm-hmm. And I know this might get a little touchy because everybody's up in the air about Ben Simmons. And I'm sitting there, I'm not totally sold on Ben. I mean, you can look throughout the history of the game. We can look at the NBA championships, and there's never been a champion that had a starting guard that can't shoot. And we keep on saying, well, if he gets a shot. The reality is there's never been an NBA champion that had a guard who couldn't shoot.
Rondo.
Well, Rondo played an excellent defense, but Ray Allen was a sniper. I mean,
it's not what you said.
Yeah, but I'm talking about Rondo is a guy that, you know, he didn't shoot, but he played excellent defense.
Well, Ben Simmons doesn't play excellent defense?
I mean, he does, but
the best defensive player in the league.
But we don't have a Ray Allen to compensate of Ben's life.
Yeah, listen, you're preaching to the choir, right? I understand the Ben thing. What I'm saying to you is, I'm not giving up on that. Because the other parts of his game are so dynamic that I'm not. You're speaking out of frustration. I'm trying to eliminate frustration and evaluate the whole thing. The last thing I'm going to do is trade him out of frustration. I'm giving him another full year. Full year. Like, he's going into 2022 for me.
All right, Mike, can I ask you one question, though?
Yes.
I'm just being straight up when I ask you this. Mm-hmm. I see the explosiveness. I see that he's athletic. But when it, like, we had said this last year, and he comes back still shooting, like, 60% from the foul line. Like, how many years? Look at Golden State.
You're speaking out of frustration. Go on, you're speaking out of frustration. You're not going to get full value at this point if you get rid of him. You're not going to be better off getting rid of him. They're not going to give you Devin Booker for him. They're not going to give you Luka Doncic. Well, wait, who are you going to get for Ben Simmons that's going to make you better?
One thing about Ben, he's young, and it'll be all you need is one sucker to dance.
Yeah, again, you think that's easier said than done. Unless you're getting Doncic or Booker, what's the point of moving him? There's no point. You're not going to improve your team just because you're frustrated he won't shoot. Brian in South Jersey on 97.5 The Fanatic. Brian.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
What's up, Brian?
I want to talk about friggin' I'm sorry. I've been down the shore. I'm on my boat, and I'm sitting down here.
Look at you! On the boat having cocktails. Oh!
Well, I knew you'd get a kick out of that. One guy took my fire away, that Guy LaFleur, you know. You were talking about the thing, but I wanted to talk about the college kids who, you know, they want him to play. The country's so hot. I'm really worried about these kids. You know, it's like I know they practice all their life. They need to show the country what they have so they can make it to the pros. And it's sad what's going on right now, but just to open up the whole country to these college kids.
You can't play. No. You just can't, because now you're risking college kids' lives. And
exactly.
The Northeast
is cool. Everything's pretty cool over here, but man, the whole country just blew up in the last what?
Yeah. So if they want to move the season to spring, that's an option. They can do that.
I agree with that.
The Big Ten, I think, is this note is going to carry over to the rest of the five power conferences. I seriously doubt that you're going to have any college football. Now that said, if that happens, how does the NFL handle that?
Oh, they'll be in a quagmire.
That's what I mean. Now, are they going to just push forward?
I agree with what the Flyers are doing. They're all in a bubble. That's great.
Yeah, if college football gives up.
I'm so excited for the Flyers, man. I could not believe they came back as strong as they ended. Mm-hmm. I was worried about that. You know, they were so hot, and they came back. They're still hot.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, what's the draft going to be like? They're going to have to move the draft and everything else. You know what I mean?
If they have spring season, when would the draft be? If they play in the spring, the draft would then move it to, like, when? They can move it to June?
Yeah, already.
Early June?
You can move it to May.
Okay, when would the combine be?
Late May?
Yeah, they have to move the combine and everything else.
Well, maybe they wouldn't have a combine. I don't know. That seems to be the only option I see.
Yeah, but the guy that took my thunder was when you said the Canadian players, like Guy LaFleur.
You know,
he was the first player to have 50 goals and 100 points in six consecutive seasons.
Yeah, he was an amazing scorer. I think Guy LaFleur, when he came out, there were two French Canadians that were like, it was Guy LaFleur and the guy that played for the Kings. The Frenchman, Marcel Dion.
Well, he was a Hall of Famer.
Yes, he was. Really? And they came out of junior hockey as the things. And the Canadians got Guy LaFleur. Guy LaFleur was like scored like something like 100 goals in junior in a year. And he was like this phenomenal peewee player. You know, like he was like this phenom in Canada, in French Canadian lore.
NFL actually leaked to reporters what they're going to do if college gets canceled. They're not stopping anything.
Oh, really?
Well, no, they're putting they're planning to move games to Saturdays on a new streaming deal, and now they can 100% recoup all the money they lose with no fans. And multiple beat writers have written that today. Andrew Brandt was commenting on it. They're not going to stop. When they're watching, they're not watching for health and safety things. The only thing they're watching is, okay, we're going to call Netflix, Amazon, Apple, etc. We're going to get our games on. We're going to put games on Saturdays, because why wouldn't we? and then we're going to stream them and get billions of dollars to recoup all this money.
Yeah.
So, hey, you guys out of the way? Okay, good.
We're just going to keep it moving
here. Schedule's going to be a little different. Remember that week one against Washington Eagles? Now you will play Saturday.
Football. Saturday at the new football. Stumbling, fumbling.
Yep. Yeah. That's their plan. Not to stop. Not to stop.
Oh, Nelly. Mm-hmm. We got NFL football.
Guy LaFleur, he had 130. Is that what you said? Regular season goals.
130 goals?
Yeah.
Yeah.
As a team.
It was some spectacular.
Yeah, for the Quebec Remparts.
Yeah, junior hockey, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it was something.
Amazing.
He was like Gretzky before Gretzky.
Right.
Let's go, Todd in Philadelphia. Todd, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Todd.
Oh, Nelly. You know who that was, Mike?
That was Keith Jackson.
Yeah, Greaseman, right?
Greaseman.
Yeah, I always thought the Greaseman used to do the old Nelly.
Who's the Greaseman?
I can't remember his name. Anyway.
Who was he?
He was Grease Minnelli, DC 101.
Oh, he was the disc jockey?
Yeah, he was super cool, bro.
No,
he was.
No, Keith Jackson was the Nelly when he did college football.
Oh, that's right. Yep. I think he got it from Grease Minnelli.
He stole it?
Yeah, I think so.
From the Greaseman?
Yes, sir.
Oh, no.
Yes, sir.
I think so, Mike. All right.
Hey, Mike.
What?
You were at Brewers Occult Foghat in 1980, huh?
Foghat, yep. I don't want you to. That's a Foghat song, right? Yeah.
That was a good show.
Oh, I don't remember it, man.
Yeah, I was a little smoked out myself. Anyway, Major League Baseball, right, Mike?
Yes.
World Series, right, Mike?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I don't think it should be the World Series. I think it should be the championship game. And here's why.
Okay.
All right. Major League Baseball, once, just one time, I think in a strike year, can you think of any team, anything that went World Series was 1919 Chicago Black Sox. That's the only one that I can think of that this thing is getting cut super short. Agreed?
Well, yeah, it's going to be. Yeah, it is already short. I don't know what you're saying, Todd.
Has it ever happened before?
This short?
Yes, sir.
No. Never? No. They had a strike year, but it wasn't this short. They canceled the World Series, and then next year they started late, but no, it was never this few games, which is more the reason why I get back to JT, which nobody's on my side at all. I can't believe it. Let me ask you this question. Why do you think fans care about overtaxing JT Realmuto? Like, why would you even care about it if he played him in 14 innings? How does it impact you as a fan?
Well, sometimes I think people just like to be contrarian.
No, I think they want to feel protective of JT Realmuto.
Right.
I'm going, what's the payoff of that? You're a fan. Either they're going to sign him or they're not going to sign him. Most likely they're going to sign him. But why would you care that he plays 14 innings if it helps your team? But I don't understand it. Why you would be on the other side of that. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, and to your point, you're saying because it's the shortened season, it seems like it's a logical thought to just
put them all together.
Right.
Short season, he's played 9 games, they're playing the Braves, they need him.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Other than that, yes, bench him.
Right.
I don't give a, people are going, they have sympathy for it. Like, oh, I think it's the right move. And I'm going, well, you're a fan, why would you think that's the right move? Why would you care if JT Realmuto has to wake up a little sore on Monday morning? Why would you care about that?
Well, I think they're thinking normally that's the day off for the catcher. The day game after the night game is usually the day off, and they think asking 14 would be too much on a day when he's normally off.
Yeah, but why would they care if it's too much? Like,
well,
you're just a fan.
You don't want him to get hurt.
But it's just like, it's not like you're asking him to, you know, climb a mountain here.
Yeah. That Nelly thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was completely wrong.
It wasn't the Greaseman.
No. I found a video of Keith Jackson explaining he got it from his grandfather on a farm.
Yeah.
And his grandfather used to say, "Whoa, Nelly," to like the cattle and stuff on the farm. Had nothing to do with any grease man.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, no. I don't even know
who Grease Man is.
Me neither, but he didn't get it. Nah, he got it from his grandfather.
Yeah, Keith Jackson. Yeah, that was his. I wouldn't think he would steal that.
I think the Grease Man, whoever he is, probably stole it from Keith Jackson.
The Grease Man was where? He was a DJ where, did he say?
I think he said down in D.C.
In D.C.?
Yeah. That's what he said. I don't know of a Grease Man.
All right.
But he didn't steal it. Let's not impugn the great character of the great Keith Jackson.
All right, here's the other thing about it. Well, the last thing I'll say about JT, because a lot of people are going, "Well, I'm Mike, I know how taxing." Yeah, I get it. I play baseball. I know how taxing catcher position is. But I also know that you're measuring it from a standpoint where you're getting out of your car at 9 o'clock in the morning, showing up at a ballpark and playing in a rec league game. Yeah. It's taxing when you do that. These guys get massages and 2 hours worth of a soak. They got their own personal trainer. Their recovery is a lot different than what your recovery would be.
Right.
They're professional athletes. So you can't measure by the same standard. The only thing I'm saying is they need the guy. And I don't think you can treat a season as cavalierly as Joe Girardi is right now, thinking it's 162 games. This is urgency right now.
I think it's interesting when the fans sometimes pick and choose when they want to be, you got to be tough, you got to tough it out. And then it's like,
because they like JT.
Right, which is fine.
And they're afraid of losing JT. So it's like, oh, well, he needs a day off. Well, either you're going to lose him or you're going to keep him. But that's like, what's that? What does that have to do with this year? Like, this year is what's important if you want to get into a playoff situation. All right, 610-632-0975 is how you get in. A couple open lines. Mo in Westchester. What's up, Mo?
How you doing, Mike? Hi, everyone. If you saw Fog Hat in the mid 70s, I might have been cheap chick warming up for them, possibly.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
I looked at the concert before. I was looking at all the concerts. It may have been Cheap Trick. No, I don't think, because I wouldn't have gone to see Cheap Trick, and I wouldn't have gone to see Fog Hat either. The Fog Hat was playing for somebody that I wanted to see, and it wouldn't have been Cheap Trick. However, I interviewed Cheap Trick in my days in rock radio at WMMR. I had a sit down with Cheap Trick.
How was that?
That was interesting, I guess. There's the two guys. There's Robin Zander, and who's the other guy, the tall guy?
Yeah, the guitarist?
Yeah.
He's got all these wacky guitars.
Yeah, the wacky guy with who used to wear wacky glasses.
And he always wore a baseball cap or something like that.
Yes. Yeah, I interviewed both those dudes.
That's cool. Sounds like you had a great rock life.
Also, I did have a good rock life. I interviewed Jimmy Page at the Plaza Hotel.
What year did you?
It was 2002, was it?
Oh, that was great.
Me and Jimmy hanging in a suite at the Plaza Hotel.
Oh, how nice.
Uh-huh.
That sounds great. talk about the Flyers.
Chris Cornell I interviewed. Tom Morello.
Yeah, it sounds like you have lived with
Brandon
life.
Boyd from Incubus.
I see you just going down all your list. Flyers observations, but real quick, Philly's observation.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, excuse me, I must nod it off talking about them. What is up with Rhys Hoskins? He wants to lead the league in pitches seen instead of mashing hanging sliders and curves.
Well, he's seen too many pitches because he's just he's unconfident that he can.
He's not Harper, bring him in. As long as I'm getting on base, he used to crush those pitches.
Yeah, his non-aggression is coming from an insecurity right now that he feels like he's. He's not a confident hitter, so he's not pulling the trigger.
You're pulling the trigger like you're gonna ride out his initial contract and then let him go.
I don't know what to, who knows.
if they actually had AAA, you could send him there on some bogus injury and then.
No, he's a tradable commodity. So, I mean, if you feel you want to move on with him, somebody'll trade for him.
All right.
So power hitter. Power hitter is still like you have a glimmer of power in you. People will take a chance on.
And he gets streaky too. So we're just waiting for that streak to happen again.
He hasn't hit in a long time though.
No, he hasn't.
I mean, from last year on, that's where I see it's a confidence problem.
Mid season, so you know.
Yeah, because you know that's what he changed his he wanted to, when you start tinkering with your swing and your stance and all that kind of stuff, you're floundering.
Oh, and then he shaved his mustache.
And that, that looked
pretty
ridiculous.
Bad, right?
Yeah, it was a bad look.
70s look. Flyers, after Thursday's game, you can notice that Abut Kubel was just flying everywhere, hitting people, multiple people on one shift, disrupting the
play. Abut Kubel.
And then all of a sudden, he's got hands of gold. And it's just amazing to have an athlete be able to bring both of those attributes.
He's no Pierre-Edouard Belmar. He's Abut Kubel.
And it looked like on Saturday that Ghost was flying 10 miles faster than anyone else.
Hey, the Ghost knows he's got to play that way to get to stay in the lineup.
Oh, he looked great, I thought. And you know, Jonesy made a comment. Tampa Bay definitely won the last two periods. And, you know, the Flyers were saved by, again, another rookie. Look at all these rookies. You know, the Flyers got heart. And you had a caller on Friday talk about how that top line was shutting down all the other lines. Mm-hmm. And that was before Voracek dropped out. So you put Farabee in there. But it just shows you the commitment that Voracek and Giroux are, you know, you expected that, Coots. But, you know, they're all playing this team concept. And I got to feel that if the Flyers just saw the three best teams, that there will be better matchups for Giroux and Voracek or Farabee to get going again. And, you know, I'm just looking forward to that.
And I am too. And I'm looking to listen. If they get through the first round, which I believe they will, and maybe Montreal takes them to six, best case scenario. Flyers win. Flyers, Carolina, Tampa Bay, Washington.
Tampa will win that.
Flyers, Tampa Bay.
Yep.
How you feeling about that?
I'm a little afraid.
You're afraid of Tampa Bay series?
Yes. Tampa's good. Tampa's really good. And in addition to them being really good, they've been there before.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit. They're not old, but they have some more.
Yeah.
A lot of young guys with the Flyers.
Yeah.
Once they get to the deep water, I'd be a little afraid. That doesn't mean the Flyers can't do it. But that to me, that's a challenging series.
All right. On the other side, we got some odds, NHL odds for you to consider as we proceed towards the Stanley Cup playoffs. And for the first time all day, we are wide open for you. 610-632-0975. You got something to say? You Sixer fans, all you cold Sixer fans, sticking your feet in ice water right now? I want to hear from you. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
All right, let's get a final Twitter poll number on the Mike Missinelli Show. And the Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. If you need a new mower, zero turn, or other outdoor power equipment, Paul B. Moyer and Sons has it all. Order online at paulbmoyer.com or by phone. Safe contactless pickup in Doylestown, PA. Natalie Aganoff.
Thanks, Mike. Over 700 votes on today's poll. The number one seed in the Eastern Conference has not made the Stanley Cup Finals in 16 years. Will the Flyers be different? 76% say yes, 24% say no.
Wow, 24.
Yeah.
That went up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit.
It's gone up and then it went back down.
All right.
So.
In any event, we have some news.
Yeah.
What do we got?
So, this is about college football. For people, the Big Ten. Uh-huh. So it turns out that the Ivy League is smart for a reason. So the reason that they pulled out and they've had all of a sudden and suddenly have all these caveats on not playing is because the heart condition that the player for the Boston Red Sox that was 27 years old has, that the permanent, perhaps permanent damage,
mm-hmm.
according to ESPN, there's been five players in the Big Ten, young guys who were, you know, otherwise healthy, have that disease now. And the fear is guys get it. They quote unquote recover. They go back to play. And then the school's now responsible for permanent heart damage to many players. Because let's say that's five they know in that conference. They say it's happened in other conferences, but the Big Ten doesn't want to speak on the other conferences. Probably the Pac-12, since the Pac-12 seems to sort of be in line with it. That's the problem. So while we keep talking about how, oh, you're not going to die, and nobody in college football has died from this disease, but I think a 18 to 23-year-old with a heart disease, a heart damage all of the sudden from COVID, to me, is a problem. I think it's a problem for them as well.
Yeah.
So that is what changed. People were wondering, well, what changed? What changed was they found at least five players in their conference have this heart disease, and they're afraid, well, if we start playing a season and we get, and let's say there's a couple guys per team, you know how much liability that is?
Yeah.
And you're an attorney, you know, like, you sign a waiver. You know those waivers wouldn't hold up if a 22-year-old has permanent heart damage?
No.
It's not going to hold up.
Wrong for death suit.
So
they see a grieving mother. The jury.
Also, apparently over the weekend, someone asked the question, "What?" And they just wanted to know, what would we do if one player passed away?
Right.
Like, the NFL has an answer. I don't know what it is, but apparently NFL has gone through the process, and they know what they're going to do if somebody passes away. It's probably not something we'll like, but they have a plan. College has yet to have a plan if one player passes away, because they know if one player died from Iowa, the whole thing would then have to be shut down immediately. You can't keep playing if a player dies from COVID.
What plan could the NFL possibly have if somebody dies?
I think it's just write a check. I think they have a certain level of insurance and then just give the family money and hope that they're quiet.
And they just carry on?
Yep. Their plan is to carry. Nothing. It would take a lot for the NFL not to carry on. The NFL's plan is to carry on. One death will not stop the NFL, but it would stop college. NFL does not care.
No, I guess they don't. It's amazing. All right, 610-622-0975. Again, there's no sound off, so we have plenty of room for your calls before we get out of here. Casey in Fishtown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Casey.
Hey, Mike, what's going on,
What's up, Casey?
Listen, I'm not much of a Sixers guy. I want to talk about Flyers, but, you know, I feel bad for these Sixers fans that call into this station because they are looking at the trees and they're not looking at the forest. I'm a carpenter. If you don't have a foundation set, then you can't stitch on the finishing touches. And Ben doesn't want to shoot the ball. He can't stay on the floor. Joel's not interested. And apparently, like I said, I'm not a huge Sixer guy, but everything I hear is the coach can't even do a rotation. So it's not going to happen, and a change needs to be made in that organization if they're going to make moves.
Here's the thing about the fans in general. When you're frustrated, the way you alleviate your frustration is to say, get rid of them.
I get that. Yeah, totally.
And I know that they don't really mean it, because they know at the end of the day, if they really studied it, they're not going to get a player of his caliber if they, you know, bite the bullet and trade him. They're just not. And so what are you gaining?
But I just hate this whole kick the can mentality, like whatever, we can lose against Orlando, whatever, once we're on the floor and big games happen. But then the big games happen. They don't even pull through. So how far are you going to kick it down before it's like, all right?
I don't know the answer to that question, but it ain't now.
Well, from now, from a sportsman, I watch sports. I just don't watch the Sixers.
Sixers? This is very interesting, because I talk to a lot of hockey players that have your attitude, hockey fans. Why? Why won't you watch the Sixers?
I'll tell you this. I play pickup basketball. It's a lot of fun. But my thing with basketball, I just find it boring. Like, everybody can dunk, everybody can lay up.
You're a very, very, very short-sighted man. That's all you see in basketball.
I'm not here to hate on basketball.
That's all right. I mean, listen, I understand why you don't like basketball. Go ahead. What else did you want to say about the Flyers?
Everybody has their thing, and it's just not mine.
Yeah.
Flyers, man, I'm all in on them. I think they're going to be great. I think they have the mentality of the Phillies going in 08. You know, I think everybody thought they were going to make big moves, and they did. Same situation with the Eagles. That 2 weeks going into the Super Bowl, I've never seen the city so confident. Everybody was in on it. I was living in Camden, and everybody in Camden was like psyched up for the Eagles. It was a great time, and I just have that same feeling with the Flyers. I think they're going to be big. I hate this attitude of who do I don't want to play. My buddy said he wanted them to lose against Tampa so we wouldn't have to face Montreal. Tyrone said, you know, he's a little scared of Tampa Bay. I'm not scared of anybody. We're the big guy on the block. They're going to come through us. And especially in hockey, that's the mentality that you got to have.
All right, man. Let's go into these odds that I was going to talk about. So here we go with the first round. First of all, I love the people to go. It's just not my thing. It's just dunking and no defense. And all you have to do is tune in for the last couple of minutes. All these old cliches.
Well, if he's going to do those cliches, Mike, why doesn't he just admit, I don't really know what I'm talking about?
Well,
because there's no way for you to not know.
I've played basketball. I know what's up. No, you haven't. You probably didn't play basketball because you probably couldn't compete with other players. And so that's why you turned to hate basketball. But, you know, this notion that, it's just dunking. And, well, that shows me you don't even watch the game. And right. You have no idea what you're talking about. Right. All right. Here we go with the odds for the NHL. Montreal is plus 190. The Flyers minus 220.
All right.
Columbus Blue Jackets, Tampa Bay Lightning, a significant favorite. Jackets are plus 175. Here's an interesting series. I think the Islanders can actually win this series. The Islanders plus 140. Caps minus 160. They're giving the Islanders a fighting chance
in there.
And the Carolina Hurricanes, who I think will beat the Bruins, they're in the same odds. Plus 140, Bruins only minus 160.
Mm.
Now, here is the I can tell you, I'll bet on this series right away. This is a $1,000 bet to just make a couple hundred.
Because
this can't possibly lose. The Vegas Golden Knights are minus 325 against the Blackhawks. There is no chance that they will lose that series.
I agree. They'll definitely win.
So that's free money right there. It depends on where you want to make $300.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So you bet $1,200. You make $300. That's worth it.
Yes.
You're not going to get that investment anywhere else. I'm going to bet that.
You're going to bet that?
That's in.
All right.
That's a no stress, collect your money at the end of the day bet. Or series bet.
Like it.
Let's go with Arizona is plus 250 against the Lynch. That's another, you take Avalanche in that. Dallas Stars, Calgary Frames. Calgary, slight fade, minus 120.
Mm, okay.
And the St. Louis Blues and Vancouver Canucks.
The defending champion Blues.
Minus 210. The Blues. Odds to win the Stanley Cup. Guess who's second?
Are the Flyers second?
The Flyers are second behind the Colorado Avalanche.
The Avalanche.
To win the cup, not the Vegas Golden Knights.
So the Avs are the favorite.
The Avs are 5-1 favorite to win the cup. Flyers 11-2 ahead of the Lightning.
Oh, I like.
Oh, look at that.
Well, you know what's happening then. The Flyers getting to the finals.
Flyers How about getting those to the odds finals. Getting adjusted.
Look at that. And all the disrespect. Well, those ESPN writers.
Yeah.
And listen, people are wrong all the time. But I'm saying all the ones that gave the Flyers no chance in the round robin. I'm sure we're going to get we'll find a column that they write about their playoff chances. Well, those columnists that gave the Flyers no shot, show it them any respect now? Because remember, they all picked the fourth.
I'll tell you what.
They all picked the fourth.
Yeah, I don't care what those people do. But in Vegas.
They know.
They know.
Flyers. I would love, first of all, Avalanche was always a team that was almost like a second team for me. I liked Sakic. I loved Patrick Roy. I liked a lot of those players back then. I actually would enjoy Avalanche Flyers final.
About that.
I would enjoy it more than Golden Knights because I have nothing with the Golden Knights.
Right. There's no rivalry. There's right. no intensity.
Like that thing goes all the way back to Quebec.
Right.
When I'm pulling against Colorado, the Nordiques. So, like, I'm into that. I would be very into that.
How about the Flyers getting this respect?
They're a good team.
On top the Lightning now.
Love it.
Look at that.
Love it.
Watch all out right. for those Flyers.
Let's come down the home stretch with a couple calls. Jim and Matt, hang in there. Anybody else we want to climb in? 610-620-975. Mike Missinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Alrighty, it's 5:44, and let's get as many calls as we can in here. Devon Gibbons follows this program on 97.5 The Fanatic. Stay tuned for Devon. Let's go, Matt Manioc. Matt, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Matt.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's going on, Matt?
Good. So I don't know. I don't call a lot, but I had to call in today after, you know, with the press conference that Brett Brown had last night. I think I'm finally done. I for the longest time wanted to hold on to Brett Brown. You know, I guess it's a Philadelphia thing that we love the underdog, and I thought, you know what, this guy stuck with it through all the tough times, through the process, when he had nobody to put out on that floor. And he, you know what I mean? I want to be behind him. I want to say, all right, this guy suffered and suffered for us, and now he's going to lead us to a championship. But after I heard him say, oh, yeah, Lil Willard, he had a great game. He really played great. He had a great game. Yeah, he dropped another 50 points on us. T.J. Warren dropped 50 points on us last week. This is ridiculous. I'm so sick of this guy's attitude now and the way that he slurs his R's with a stupid Boston accent. I'm done. I'm so done. I want to be cleansed. Yeah. I want to be cleansed of Brett Brown now. You know, what is this buddy-buddy stuff? You know,
he is what he is as far as those. He annoys me a little bit, too. To your point, and, you know, he goes into these deep explanations. It's just because we're tired of hearing from him and because we're frustrated with the team. Otherwise, he would be charming. What is this? A Woj story. Philadelphia 76ers All-Star Ben Simmons is likely to miss the rest of the season. Sources tell ESPN.
Yeah, but there's another story that says he'll be reevaluated in two weeks.
Yeah. So.
All right. Well,
that's why we didn't run with it, because they came out at the same time.
Yeah. Okay. Serena reported he's out indefinitely, as did Keith Pompey. And then the evaluation's in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So nobody else has.
All right. The best we hope for is second round.
Yeah, he could be out for the season.
I don't think he's going to play against Boston, but
no.
Again, that might work in their favor if certain guys pick up the slack. If they get some scoring from the guards that they did last night, and maybe they can withstand it. Jim in Florida, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jim.
Hey, Mike.
What's up, Jim? How you doing?
Natalie, Tyrone, you guys are my lifeline to Philadelphia sports down here.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Couple observations. Number one is, I'm so glad you're talking about the Flyers again. A few years ago, I got a little frustrated. You didn't talk about it much, but you know, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. You remember the troubles they had at home the past few years? Carter Hart on the road was horrid.
Yep.
Now they're in a neutral site. Do you think that this has anything to do with the neutral site and not the pressure of being at home?
I don't know. Maybe it does. I don't know. I can't make that call. The real hockey now starts. So we'll get more of an indication. If there's any truth to that these teams in the round robin weren't exactly busting their rear ends, they're going to have to bust it now. So we'll see how good they are in this first series, which I expect them to really have no problem with.
Now, you covered the Flyers for years, and you have more of an insight than probably most of us would, obviously. Do you think there's added pressure at home? Hey, the president of Comcast is in the house, or we're trying to sell these suites, and the president of AT&T.
I don't think there's more pressure on hockey players. I think that a crowd can help more than hurt a home team. So no, go ahead.
You don't think that makes a difference?
No.
Okay, and then one more. I want to throw one thing out. My son is a turf manager for the Jacksonville Jaguars down here,
uh-huh.
And it's business as usual. the players are there. They're working out. Some of them have been there for a while, and then it's business as usual. As far as my insight to the NFL,
yeah, the NFL is determined to play, and so they're probably going to give it a shot, and we'll see where it goes. We'll see if they can complete the season. I'm doubting it, but we'll see. Jared and Camden, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jared?
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Jared?
Not much. Hey, I've been tuning into your show. I'm a truck driver. Just wanted to say love your show, man. You're awesome. But I wanted to chime in on the Sixers. I'm not a Sixers fan, but I live next to Philly, so I kind of, you know, want to see them win.
Uh-huh.
And my thing is, I do not think that Ben Simmons should be in the starting five. I really think that Philly would benefit with him coming off the bench and dominating versus the other team's bench.
Yeah, I don't agree.
I mean, you got to think about this. You know, with him being on the floor with Joel, Joel has to turn into a shooting big man. And Ben just pretty much hangs around the basket because he wants to get the putback, and I understand that because he doesn't shoot the ball.
You got to have Ben Simmons on the floor almost 40 minutes a game because of all the other stuff he does. You just can't have him as a bench player. Come on, Jared.
I mean, Ben, but you got to think, though. He's going to get more than the regular. He's going to get more playing time than a regular bench player. He's definitely going to get run with the starters, but he'll run with the starters when they're getting tired. So he'll be dominating. You got to understand, like, he'll probably drop 30 points a game if he wasn't in the starting five playing and clogging up the floor with Joel Embiid. I think that they should put Horford in the starting five and just move Shake down to point guard and Josh. Uh-oh. And you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't agree with you a little bit. I'm sorry, Jared. I just thought, I don't agree. I don't see what the benefit would be with having Ben Simmons as a bench player. You're assuming he's going to come in against stiffs. That's why he's going to dominate. Like, I don't understand that logic. By the way, there's one thing on the Big Ten saying that they're not going to play. There were two schools that voted against that: Nebraska and Iowa.
In Nebraska today,
so. Iowa, a program out of control. And Nebraska has the cool units to say, we're going to play anywhere. We're going to play outside the conference.
Yep.
How about that?
Talking about playing in the Big 12.
How about
Big
that 10. Solidarity?
In the Big 12,
or that weasel program.
Mm-hmm. Nah.
I get that. I guess that Frost is you know, he wants to kickstart that program because he had a bad year last year. All right, quickly. No, we're out. James, sorry about that. We'll get to you tomorrow. Be call back tomorrow. You'll be a first caller. All right, stay tuned. Devon Gibbons right here at 97.5 The Fanatic. Everybody, you guys be safe out there. Have a great rest of the night. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.